Yeah, you've got to give them credit, don't you? They fought right to the end, and I think that merited the derby atmosphere that was created by both sets of fans. And as I said, you've got to applaud their work ethic right to the end. Enjoyed to see it.
Not so proud of your scrambling defence, though. I mean, they had a shot on target.
Okay.
So, I mean, way under the cost, just the boys equally as desperate as the other team.
Yeah, definitely. But I think on the flip side, I think we made it quite challenging for ourselves, ultimately. I think should have seen the game out, scored a few more goals, I would have thought. But as you said and alluded to, the defensive side of it was a magnificent performance, not only the back four, but the work rate of Mateo and Stephen Agarovic, and the new dynamic of that partnership is really pleasing to see in terms of the chance creation and Stephen popping up and scoring the winner.
Moved a little bit closer to the top six, and that's motivation then, I suppose.
Yeah, it's been a motivation all year because I didn't come here to come last. I came here to win the league. And whether or not it happens in my first year or the second league, that's the case. It's got to be the case of every head coach in the A-League. It has to be. Because that's your inspiration and your management of your players. They need to feel empowered, and that leadership depicts that. So it was an interesting game overall, but to see the result out the way we did is pleasing. And they're a joyous bunch now, but big challenge next week away at Perth, and people have been defining the last two games as defining our season now. I don't think that's true. It's just another step. And it'll be an interesting game next week, but it's very pleasing for the fans. It was nice to see them cheering the way they did. They were actually louder today than they are at Hunter Stadium, which is actually quite nice. So I'm asking for a bit more at Hunter Stadium.
Is there a bit more belief now? Like you said, it's always a bit motivation, but they start to believe now that's a possibility rather than a motivating factor.
They've always believed it, but sometimes things don't go for you. Now, luck is nothing. There's nothing to do with luck. It's your preparation and your attitude going into the performance. Now, I can't fault their preparation and attitude all year round, but sometimes you don't take your chances. More often than not, you're not rewarded for it. But what we're seeing for the last 4 to 5 weeks, you're seeing different individuals stepping up, creating more in the final third, but leadership qualities of other and personalities growing, which is great to see, and it bodes well for next season. But we're certainly not finished. We've got a number of fixtures to go, and my mentality, and I think the playing group, well, I'm pretty sure, is to put as much pressure on Sydney and Melbourne and Perth as much as possible.
Do you think you'll lead three of the next six to get there, or have you gone that far yet in terms of getting the calculator?
Yeah, listen, the last time I did that, Wellington beat Western Sydney 5-2, so I've stopped doing that. I tend not to look at any other fixtures because it changes every week, as I've said. So my thoughts are simple. We need to win every game. And our philosophy and principles and energy that we put into our preparation is to win every game. And that's our mentality from this moment onwards.
Development aside, has there been anything in particular that you can say that's just clicked in the last 4 or 5 weeks that potentially wasn't?
It's how you measure it, and as a coach, people always have opinions, and it's flabbergasted me since being away in Australia, from Australia so long, the level of opinions that are out there, football opinions, that is. And my principles are simple: unless I see you at the training ground analysing our training, you don't have an opinion. That's the way I look at it, because ultimately you haven't seen us prepare, and you haven't seen us and the methods we're putting in place. So to allude to your question, it's an interesting one, because I'm seeing progression, seeing development of individuals. But it's a slow process, but we're all very eager. Myself and John Paul are very eager, and expectations are high, but so are the players. And we're slowly getting there, but we're not finished.
How much can you put down to the introduction, I guess, of Agarovic, of North Strand, of Leonardo, and fitness? How much is that to do with the
Well, prior to even competition, it provides a lot of competition for spaces. So before you even pick your team, you've got people training to a different level, because their positions in the team aren't guaranteed. So instantly the training resistance increases, which is important. And I guess that's the difference between the top clubs and where at this point the resistance in training is greater because of the depth of the squad. Okay. So first of all, they're preparing to a different level, similar to the A-League. But their individual application and belief, but more so their technical ability, has been very pleasing to see. Now, we knew Stephen, he's been on the radar for 12 months, and Morton I've known of for a while, and it's a fortunate position to find ourselves in, that we can bring players like that to the club. Because when I first arrived, we didn't have that ability, so it's nice to see now. But more importantly, it's not about bringing them in, that's the easy part. It's them fitting into the philosophy and the principles, and respecting the club and performing.
Listen,
if you asked me that and we'd lost or drawn, it might have been slightly different. But I think Tony will be very frustrated. I was frustrated at times, but I'd rather win games clear and outright than by a decision of a referee. So that's my philosophy. You work hard on the training ground without a referee, so why should he impact you on match day?
You had a crazy lot of chances in that first half.
It was about consistency and continued penetration in the final third. We looked at their back four all week in terms of the balance, and they've got some young players in there with potential, but their overall communication with each other, if we could play off the platform and sort of drag a central defender in and out of the pocket behind and then get a third man running behind there, we thought we'd be quite successful with it. Now we were, but we didn't execute the final ball good enough, and our timing was off with the final run, so it could have been slightly different. But to see the transference of the training ground application to the game was good in the first half, that's for certain.
Is it more just knocked the ankle, or is it more severe than that?
Listen, he actually did it probably about 20 minutes earlier in an initial challenge up further up the park, so that was secondary to that. So we'll get him reviewed and we'll have a look at it tomorrow. He seems quite confident and comfortable now, but these ankle injuries can be quite innocuous as well, so we'll have to review it in time.
Hello Jets fans, it's Emma here for the Jetstream Extra, and I've had the pleasure of being at Central Coast Stadium where we have just beat the Coasties 1-0. I have with me three young Jets fans. I have Jack, Liam and Zach. Say hi, fellas.
Hi.
Okay, so let's start with, we'll go one by one. How good does it feel to win at Central Coast Stadium after something stupid like 2000 and something days?
Incredible. I've been coming down since we won in 2008. Haven't won since, so it's amazing. It's great.
We've got the chants in the background still going. We couldn't wait for them to stop because I don't think they ever will. Liam, what did you think of the win? Feels good?
Oh, it was absolutely amazing. Like, the amount of... We just haven't won here for ages. It's just an awesome feeling to actually beat this Coasties for once in a way and just convincingly 1-0. Even better with defence.
Zach, you're on the same page?
Yeah. It's just all... It was just a great game. All about the vibes. Couldn't ask for anything better, really.
And the team celebration at the end was quite epic, very, very fun.
Very, very fun, yeah. I mean, couldn't ask for anything better. Great day for the Jets fans, great result. As good as it gets.
All right, let's start with the good first. Jack, what did you think of the goal? So we had, it was a nice little prod in from Nobby, I think, and Ugarkovic put it away. What did you reckon?
Yeah, Ugarkovic has been great since we signed him. He hustled hard, good finish as well. It was great, yeah, it was real good.
Yep, Liam, you're on the same page. You think Ugarkovic, Nobby, good additions to the team in the transfer window?
Yeah, great additions to the team. Like, we've needed people like that to just help our team and build them up. Just through the centre defensive mid and striking options, we have them. It's great.
All right, Zach, I'll throw this one to you. It's a little bit hard to be sooky given that we won, but there were a couple of occasions where there were obvious goal kicks that got given as corners, a few iffy ones, maybe a handball in the box that were a bit controversial. Did you think we were a bit hard done by on the ref today, or do you think they were all fair?
I think it was very harsh officiating. I mean, there was a couple of times Izzo picked the ball up outside the box, clearly. A lot of goal kicks. I mean, corners that should have been goal kicks. It was just interesting calls, but we won, so...
We got a few cards as well. Poliak and Mullen both got cards for some late challenges. Did you think they were fair? We'll go to you, Jack.
Oh, Poliak's one, that was garbage. He clearly got the ball. He had possession, and the guy went into him, and he got yellow carded, so I don't know how they come up with that. And Mullen's looked soft as well.
Yep. So let's go to man of the match then, because I can't remember what else I was going to ask. So man of the match, fellas, we'll start with you, Zach.
Oh, I'd have to say Cowburn. I mean, he did his job. Mitch Austin, hard player to defend. Great attacking options. He did it all, really.
Wonderful. Liam?
Oh, either Bugard or Mullen. They played an absolutely great game. They just locked down the back and just shows by the result of a clean sheet, pretty much.
Bugard and Mullen were back to their regular selves, weren't they? They had a few iffy games and back in it. Jack, what did you reckon, man of the match?
Yeah, Bugard or Ugarkovic, they were both real good. The whole defence is real good, actually, so it was real good to see.
Oh, I remember the other thing I was going to ask now. What do you think? We've had a good run lately, a few wins all in a row. What do you think's been the difference? Who wants to go first? What have we changed?
I reckon Ugarkovic and Nobby first and foremost. I mean, they've just been great since they come in. Scott Miller's done a great job putting them into the team. Just stepped it up a notch, I guess.
Yep. All in agreement, fellas?
Yeah, definitely. The signing's just been great for us. Great job in the transfer window, I think, from Miller.
And how many people do you reckon we got here today? Big turnout for the coast?
I'd say more than half.
It was definitely a good turnout. Felt a little bit like winning a grand final. Is there anything else anyone wanted to add about the match? Any thoughts, feelings, coverage? Just glad we won.
Glad we won.
Great vibes. Great vibes, great win. What a Sunday.
Yeah.
What a time to be alive.
It's really a shame for the Coasties who've come out and they've lost again. So they'll get the spoon this year, and it's good to see.
Oh, sorry, Coasties. We'll see you next time and we'll do it again. All right, Jets fans, I don't know if Dave's going to be up next with a Coastie fan or whether I was last. Either way, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the regular pod this week.
Okay, welcome Jets fans to another version episode of the Jetstream Extra. I'm joined graciously by Central Coast Mariners fan Keith, who's been with us earlier in the season. Keith, welcome back to the Jetstream.
I'm not very gracious tonight, Dave. I'm not gracious in defeat. Is that unanimous of me, basically? I can't be gracious in defeat.
Mate.
In fairness though, Dave, neither team deserved to win that game, to be honest with you.
Well, that may be the opinion, but I guess the opinion.
I think we can base that on fact, apart from the result. The fact is now going to be recorded in history, the E1 1-0.
And on top of that, yes, the Jets won 1-0 with a goal from Steven Yagakovich, a goal that I missed because I was in the bathroom, but we won't go into that. We'll probably talk about that.
Can I just clarify, I was not in the bathroom as well, in case anyone's speculating in the podcast that they put 2 and 2 and gets 5? Because I know you're all great mathematicians up there in Newcastle.
Jeez. Okay, we apologise to the kids that are listening to this pod.
There was nothing there below PG, at least.
All right, so pretty open first half, I guess, to the Jets. They came out pretty quickly, but the Central Coast started, I think, to get on top around the 10-minute mark. What were your thoughts on the first half?
Yeah, I think obviously we had the two gilt-edged chances from Garcia. At least one of them should have been put away, really. And you had two very good chances yourselves. I thought one of them would have at least gone in for you as well. I thought we started a bit slowly, came into it, as you said, around 10-minute mark. Then basically everything was going through Austin, burn and paste down the wing. I think that some of the other players, very young team out there for the Mariners, say very experienced. I think Garcia was the only real creative force out there. A lot of square balls being played. But saying that, Jets didn't really throw any great opposition towards us. They weren't really threatening us to any great degree. I couldn't say that we were under the pump from the Jets in any stage. Different Jets came out second half. Certainly you could see that basically. We're certainly riled up and forward again. But I think that, as I said to you previously, I don't think one win makes a season. I think there's a long way to go for the Jets and definitely for the Mariners, obviously.
Yeah, look, I guess the Mariners were very compact and allowed the Jets on in that first half. What do you think Tony Walmsley would have been saying to the team at halftime?
Take your chances. I think when we didn't, I think that, you know, you can't keep missing chances as the rule of the game is. Basically, the game's about goals, and if you don't score goals, you don't win games. And certainly, we haven't, 50 goals now conceded already this season. It's shocking defending. It's shocking. There's no excuses for it at the end of the day. And to lose in the Derby, obviously, with your record down at Gosford as well for so long, it's a bit disappointing. But, you know, and the fact that I think most Mariners fans, it's sad to say, would have been happy with a nil-all draw is disappointing as well, because that's the state where we're at the moment, and it's shocking. And with victory in Sydney and need to come back to Gosford as well, you wonder what's ahead, basically. But look, I think there was a lot of effort there. The kids did well. They did what they could under the circumstances. I think we're tactically naive to a degree, but again, you know, it's probably, in terms of fans, it was a healthy crowd. It was really competitive, which was great to see, basically. There was a bit of fire in the bellies from certain players in there as well, a bit of biff, or, you know, near biff.
Yeah, there was.
Which was good, because we hadn't seen that for a while, really, in a derby.
No, not from either side, really, in a derby. Yeah, you're right. It had been lacking on the field for some time.
Yeah. And I know I took the proverbial out of you, basically, talking about those Jets players who were celebrating at the end, basically. But you're right, it's good to see it, because it's about fire in the belly and pride in the shirt at the end of the day. And obviously some players do believe in that. And, you know, and we need a bit more of that from our end as well, but that's hard where we're going, basically. But not one of the great classic derbies. I think that there's a couple more we could put up there in the top three, and we have to do it all over again in a couple of weeks, which is kind of exciting to agree, because it certainly brings a great crowd to Gosford, and it's really competitive, and it's good to see, basically, as much as there's antipathy between both clubs. But that's what a derby's all about.
Mm. Well, I guess we won't go through the goal and that sort of thing. We'll leave that for the Jets fans, I guess.
Offside every day of the week, Dave. Offside every day of the week. Should have been red carded, basically. You know, what can I say? Like, throw the book at the player,
Let's focus on the last sort of 5-10 minutes where the Mariners started to put some pressure on the Jets. Look, do you think that a draw would have been a decent result?
Yeah, I honestly say that. I'm not just saying that with my Mariners cap on. It's basically, I think a fair result would have been a draw at the end of the day for the chances created by both teams. I think that the difference was that the Jets simply had a better defence, I thought, than Mariners, to be honest, which I think Bugard marshalled them well and held them well and put in really good. I remember he had one great tackle towards the end, basically, as well, which was fantastic.
Yep.
Obviously, he learned everything he knows at the Mariners anyway, so I expect nothing less. I expect nothing less of good old Nige anyway, you know what I mean? So,
we like to think that his dad taught him everything he knew.
Well, you know, we put it down to Laurie McKenna and quits, all right?
Go on.
And so, I think a draw was a fair result, but I think it's the season's tailed off for us a long time ago already, and I think, you know, for both teams now, it's just about respect, really. It's about just getting some bit of respect and heading towards next season, you know?
Well, it's interesting, last night, I think it was during the Big Blue Derby or whatever they decided to call it, Fox marketed as, they were talking about how Wellington are now back in contention for the finals with that win, but they're still now, I think, 4 points behind the Jets. So, look, tough weekend, I think, in terms of results for the Mariners, with results going against them, teams around them winning. Do you think that that's probably consigned them to the wooden spoon?
Yeah, honestly. I mean, I think we were consigned to the wooden spoon a couple of weeks ago, at least, to be honest, which I just don't think we were. We're the Aston Villa of the A-League at the moment, basically, and we just know what's inevitable and we know what's forthcoming, and there's no way out of it, whatever way excuses we can say. And you know, other Mariners fans will disagree with me when I make comments about, you know, what Wormsley said and what Wormsley's done and whether he should be there and what players are there and what players aren't there, and basically team spirit and what the club that we're used to in the community club and the club that basically smallest club in the league was always far outweighing what it was, you know, in its size and its capacity to deliver. it's always, you know, I'm not throwing this back at you, but it's, you know, for a club of our size, you're the underperforming and underwhelming club because you haven't reached the finals in so long. Let's be honest about it. You haven't.
No, we haven't.
And, you know, and you basically, for a club of your and a fan base of your stature, which is huge, with 10,000 membership, basically, you know, we crave for something like that in the coast, like, but, you know, the good old days, basically. But, you know, it'd be, I think a stronger A-League with both clubs coming back to the fore next season would be fantastic. But certainly I think that, you know, it's a massive uphill task for us now moving forward, and it needs a cash injection. We, you know, they're talking about another marquee. Who did that be? But I think you've the same issues yourselves. You're looking for new owners still, basically. You're looking for, you know, who'll be the marquee next season, basically, whether it be Australian or overseas. And at the end of the day, it's, you've got a massive tradition, history of football in Newcastle, and you've got a massive fan base that's, you just haven't delivered on for at least 6 years, you know.
Yeah, well, there's not a lot that we haven't said along those lines in the podcast previously, and it's certainly something that's well known. It is a tough year. It has been a tough year for the Mariners, very similar in many ways to that the Jets suffered last year. But I think that has probably galvanised and shown some of the younger players hard times. Do you think that can be something the young Mariners players will pick up and take away from this?
Well, all we can do is hope. I mean,
Who are the hopes in that squad?
Well, you got to say Austin, obviously. Mm-hmm. I mean, he shines out, really, as the, you know, himself and Ferreira are speed merchants, there's no doubt. But I think, you know, it's a skill with Ferreira. Austin needs to keep his head up a bit more, basically, for his final ball, his final shot, basically. He does run in like a bull in a china shop sometimes, and that pace is just, I mean, we've seen it in the A-League, they can't handle Ferreira or him, basically, with the pace. He just burns them, basically, and only Bugard got back for that final tackle today, and he's bombing down the wing with about a couple of minutes to go.
Yep.
And I think that, you know, there's a couple of young guys coming in as well, but I can't say that the back line of the Mariners inspires me at the moment. And when Josh Rose steps out, we've Storm Rue out, obviously, the next season as well. I don't see those young boys coming through. Certainly up front as well, we're lacking. I'll be quite honest, most of the team is not inspiring me from goalkeeper. You know, it's the bastion of a great team. You need a good goalkeeper, a good central defender, a good central midfielder, and a striker who knows where the net is to put the ball in it. We don't have that at the moment. We're depending on a 37-year-old for creativity. He's only going to get at least 45 to 60 minutes in his legs.
And he's only got a couple of matches left.
And he's only got a couple of matches left, you know. So it's a huge job. If they're going to invest in a youth squad, I don't have a problem with that as a Mariners. I think it's good going forward. But they need to balance it with experience, which means, you know, it's only Monty and Garcia really there in the middle of the park. They're the two old heads, basically. Mm. And I think we were just talking about that's possibly the youngest A-League team ever fielded today by a Mariners team, basically. So,
yeah.
Potentially. So we have to check that in the stats. But, you know, we need some old heads. You know, even just getting a couple of experienced A-League heads in there, been around the traps and know their way around, basically, and just get them in there for next season, basically. I know money's tight because we've got the redevelopment. I mean, this is the great thing about the Mariners, that they'll have a fantastic infrastructure next season. We'll have our own academy with our own training facilities, which are state-of-the-art, basically, as good as any other A-League club aspires for, basically, in training facilities. But we don't have a team on the pitch. We have a great facility off the pitch, but we don't have a team on the pitch. And
which will mean you'll struggle to attract the young players to come and play.
Yeah. Well, we attract all sorts of players, I think, at the end of the day. You know, we're not going to be... Well, I don't know. It's speculative to say we won't be in finals contention next year. But if you're not in finals contention, you can't get into, you know, the ACL. You can't win stuff. And it's basically, we've some
which
gone
is what
so
it's all
far.
About.
And like, internet, yeah, that's what it's all about. And as Mariners fans, being the smallest club in the league, we've been, ironically, used to success.
Yeah.
You know, the amount of grand finals that we've had, the ones some, you know, minor championships we've won, it's huge. And we're used to it, basically. And we're used to a competitive team. And we haven't got that this season. And I'll be the first one to put up my hand up and say that. And as much as it's great to see the young kids come in and do their job, it must be very morally defeating for them that every week they lose.
Yeah, it's certainly a hard thing, even as a fan, to go through. I guess final question, Keith, before we wrap up. Thanks for your time. Who is your man of the match today? You don't have to pick a Jets player.
Allegedly, by Jets fans, it's the referee.
I think you'll find quite a few Jets fans that disagree with that. If both sides are both teams are thinking that the ref did the other one a favour, then I don't think he's had a great game. But
I hate to say it, I can't pick one. Honestly, can't. There's no one really standing up for me. I mean, it's kind of, you know, when you're harking back to articles during the week written by, you know, Hutcho or Joe Griffiths, basically, talking about the good old times. It seems like that, to be honest with you. Because I watched that for 90 minutes today and it didn't resemble any of the old classic derbies that I remember from 2007, 8, 9, 10, you know. And when both teams were up near the top and competing very well, and it was a pure physical battle, and it was kind of all football ability went out the window, and it was just pure old school derby of absolute animosity.
Yep.
Today was a better calibre game to a degree than past derbies, but it was still very muted. And I really can't pick a player that I went, wow, at the end of the day. On either side, and that's no disrespect to the Jets, and obviously no disrespect to the Mariners.
That's fine. Look, for me, I guess it would be Nick Calbin. I thought he really stepped up today in some of his last-ditch tackles, which I guess is a reflection on the game as well, that we're talking about a defender. Keith, thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome.
Hopefully we can catch up again in a couple of weeks for the final round clash down at the Central Coast Stadium again, where, you know, Jets can win two, maybe get a draw, or Central Coast can get revenge. So thanks very much, guys, and listen to you during the week. We hope that you listen during the week. Cheers.